to the Geek Whisperers, live from VMworld 2014.
You can't help but do that voice, John. I love it.
I'm John Mark Troyer.
And I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm Matt Brender.
And we're very pleased to have with us a guest today, Stu Miniman from Wikibon. Stu, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. It's always good to chat with you, and thanks for inviting me to listen, talk to your audience.
Well, Stu, you are a longtime acquaintance and colleague and friend, and today we're going to talk about the dirty business of analysis. You are an analyst.
Ooh, wait, is that a dirty word?
No. We're going to talk about the analyst business. A research analyst in our business is some of the most interesting jobs that somebody can have. And as we explore in the Geek Whisperers' careers and technologists and what they do in their lives, one pathway is for a technologist, and it's particularly one who's a communicator and has an analytic mind, to move into be a research analyst. Now, there are all sorts of kinds of research analysts, and we'll talk about them a little bit, but and maybe that's a good place to start, Stu. Could you kind of, I don't know, do you have a taxonomy of the research industry and it's different than the financial analyst industry? And I don't know.
Us anything to hold on to.
What is the analyst business?
So I guess in general, if you come to an event like this, there are financial analysts, and those are the guys looking at the numbers. So I am not a financial analyst, but, looking at the numbers and the viability of a business is important, not just for the financial guys, but, of course, users want to understand if I'm buying something, is that company going out of business tomorrow? So I have to keep an eye on that. It's very important things. There's certain companies, users out there that will only buy from, public companies or people with a certain track record or things like that. So that the financial guys, that's kind of cut and dry.
Sure.
Then there's the press and the journalists, and as you guys have dug into in previous episodes, that line between press and journalist a lot of times has been blurred.
You mean between journalists and analysts?
Journalists and analysts, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we kind of look at it as... following up on the thread, what's the difference between a journalist and an analyst? The joke a friend of mine told me when I first started is, the analyst wears a suit and the journalist doesn't. We see that line blurring here on the West Coast. People go a lot more casual.
Does that mean to what they're after in the conversation when they're learning?
And who are their audiences?
Absolutely. So, I'll speak for myself. And,
please.
What I think for is, my job as an analyst is to understand technologies and help give the end user community tools and guidance as to how they should think about adopting new technology. We tend to focus a lot on disruptive technologies, so I want to give them tools to be able to evaluate what's out there, when is something ready to be adopted, if there are multiple choices out there, how can they go through a decision tree, because nothing in this world is ever black and white, and there's not a silver bullet or a solution that's great for everything. It is kind of very varied.
Now, you say your audience is in, you take an end user point of view.
So
the IT people that are using this, although now there's also some analysts just work with vendors, right? They advise the vendors.
Right. So I guess let's break down, first of all, who do we talk to and who do we create content for? So when I create content, when I'm writing, just an article or a blog a research note, or when I'm doing video on theCUBE, which you guys know we do a lot of video, is my end audit goal is to say something that is useful for that end user. That is, almost always who I want to talk to. There's certain times where we want to debate amongst ourselves, especially with the early adopters, but as an analyst, I want to help give them tools. And
I have to jump in here because we've had a long-running metaphor about Star Wars here. Sometimes analysts get a little bit of the dark side. Talk to us. Do you think analysts are dark side? Because this explanation, this pure definition, sounds...
It's not you're a Sith Lord, but you're pretty
why
close
dark side?
To
I don't
evil.
Get it.
I think analysts, I don't know. What do you think, Stu?
It's funny. There are some people that would say, if you go join a vendor, you're now working on the dark side. If you join an analyst firm, you're on the dark side. A lot of times it comes down to what they fear their motives are and why they do things.
Okay.
There's nothing hidden that really who funds the analysts. So, look, it's something that, I've talked about, and you try to have as much transparency as possible. So from our standpoint, we allow our users, the end users, can read, our content.
Mm-hmm.
We have services that we also offer for the vendor community, and it is certain end users, but more, the vendors from our standpoint that fund it, and most of the industry analyst firms that I know are traditionally funded by those vendors, and those are the ones that they are typically evaluating. So, you know, there's the discussion of kind of conflict of interest.
Well, no, I like it. It's in some ways transparency keeps you from going to the dark side. I think that's a good kind of clean definition.
And it's funny. I think back when I first joined, you guys know Mark Toomey, and he said, you know, there's one way to keep, you know, completely honest is you take money from all sides of the of the party there, and therefore, you know, you're going to try to do that. But, you know, you need to be careful because even if you take money from everyone there, you could be kind of maximum vanilla in your analysis, and everyone's great, and everything is awesome. So, you know, it's my job. I've been an engineer by training, and I was a, you know, technologist at, you know, my last corporation that I work for that, you know, I want to understand the technology real well, and I need to be honest about my evaluation and where things are going. And one of the things I love about Wikibon is we are being open and working with the community. You know, we welcome the conversation. So that's where we don't have all the answers. We leverage the crowd to be able to pull in because all together we're smarter than, you know, any of us together. So,
well, I mean, sometimes when a naive view of an analyst is, well, somebody with an opinion. Mm. And so,
I think there's another saying for that, but that would make us get on a different list.
Isn't that what a blogger is, you know?
Well, so, I mean, as people who are listening to this think, well, shit, I have an opinion and a hole in my bottom.
Well, yeah.
So, I just made Amy spit out her drink. Would you advise somebody with an asshole and an opinion to become an analyst, or what do you have to think
if you talk about kind of one of the differences I see between a journalist and an analyst, is first of all, talking to the vendor community, the journalist wants to get information out of it and share with his audience. One of the things I really like doing about my job is I give a lot of feedback to the vendor community. One of the things that is, you know, a lot of fun is I get to talk to, like, guys in Stealth or coming out of Stealth or some of these real developers out there, and they say, okay, this is where we think it's going in a couple of years, and then we'll just get into this, you know, bare-knuckle brawl internal where we're fight about what the future is. So a good analyst does have a strong opinion. We believe, we understand where the trends are going, where we're doing it. I pull as many data points that I have, from what I've learned over my career, from all the data sources that I've listened to, you know, ignore as much FUD as you can by try to filtering it out, and, you know, leveraging, you know, the community is also a good way to do it. So that's one of the key differences. But, you set me up with a big question. Would I recommend being an analyst? Boy, I thought long and hard about it when I had the offer come to me, because analyst was not something that was ever on my radar. And as a blogger and a technology guy, analyst was a dirty word to a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
It took me almost a year after I took the job before I admitted I was an analyst. Because, I'm kind of a blogger, I'm an analyst.
Tell me about us, too. I understand hesitancy.
So, you know, shout out to Nick Weaver, who said, you know, I'm not only, you know, an analyst, but, you know, if you're an Arrested Development fan, there's a term they use for somebody that was, Matt knows the joke. We'll stop there.
Since you talked about you never thought you'd be here, and we actually just briefly touched on it, but, you know, you actually are you were in the office of the CTO of EMC. You started off as a technologist. You started doing analyzing inside EMC. I don't know what you were before.
Yeah. So I've done my career, you know, I was an engineer by training. I've done, you know, everything from customer support and inside sales. I did outside sales. I became a product manager, got my MBA, worked in engineering and operations for, you know, many years. From a technologist, the pitch to me was, hey, you know how you're working on all this cool stuff and you like sharing that information?
Yeah.
What percentage can you share? I'm like, at any point, I'm usually under triple NDA. I mean, thank goodness VVols is almost out. I think I finally gave up my NDA information from 5 years ago. Thank you very much. I could usually only share 10 to 20% of what I was working on in public. And as somebody that was blogging and everything like that, I can now talk about everything. So it's fun.
Good. And do you think that was something that was a function of time? And I mean that, like, you were a very, like, early and often blogger. And you may have, the attraction of you going towards the analyst could have been, like, a time and place thing. What about somebody today where everyone is an opinionated blogger these days? Do you think the differentiation will come from the same social platforms, or do you feel like maybe the model of becoming an analyst from your current day job is a little different now?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have quite a few friends that have moved from being a journalist to being an analyst because the real good journalists have deep expertise and knowledge and an opinion. So I talked to quite a few of them here at VMworld, and unfortunately, the dollars in the kind of traditional media world, aren't what they used to be, and the analyst business is still doing quite good. So,
great.
So I think that could be social. I mean, today, to be honest, is not a huge piece of the general analyst world. Being a good writer, understanding technology, and really understanding the kind of the customer and the voice of the customer. So in my career, from my days in sales, where basically, I might have been an SE, but sales guys made a little more money. I kind of took the sales route. And, in my time working for big corporations, I talked to, users as much as I could, whether it was giving tours, to going to briefings, and talking about that. So, it's always good to talk about what's really going on out there and what challenges they're having and what opportunities they're taking advantage of. Wikibon, was founded on allowing IT practitioners to share with their peers. So that's always powerful. We always know in the community that the best stories are where somebody's done something cool, and everybody else wants to do it. It's those next practices. If you want to do what has been going on for a long time, you'll be stuck in the past. If you want to go to the future, you need to find those others that are taking the early leaps.
And the interesting thing here is we often talk on the show about how social drives some part of your career. In some ways, it sounds like with an analyst role like this, we're really talking about two different hats you wear, but perhaps the social aspect of it drives the relationships that either helps you, maintain the ones you've already established over your career in technology, find new ones, etc. Really using it as a tool, as opposed to social, the kind of marketing practice that we often talk about with influence marketing. It really is a set of tools for you.
It's interesting. I've been reflecting at this show. It's my fifth year at VMworld, and when I go to, the V Brown bag stuff and the VM Underground, there's not that many analysts there.
Right.
And when I go to the analyst community, the analyst events, most of them didn't know about what was going on there. So in many ways, it's a very different world. I've got, industry connections that I've built through, my career, and many of them now watch me on Twitter and read my blogs, read my articles and the like, but they're not as, kind of the core community people.
Yeah.
Absolutely, social's been a huge help for me, but it's not what got me my job. But
it's a good differentiator.
It's a real
Well,
some of the things we've been talking about is social being part of the community makes you smarter too, right? Because people tell you stuff.
Learn from each other.
Do you feel like that gives you an advantage in your practice in that you're connected? There's the first level, which is they talked about product X, and I saw everybody on Twitter shitting all over it because they thought it was stupid.
Right.
So that gives you a little bit of intelligence. But two, there's all the connections you make, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been trying, John, I think you and I talked a year or two ago. At VMworld, I'm trying to spend more time with fewer people than, just saying hi to everyone. So, I find, not name drop, but, Jason Nash, and get, 15 minutes with him to talk about the latest that's going on in SDN. The people that I know real well, I spend some time with them. And then, I always do try to find if people reach out to me or if somebody I don't know that well, at breakfast, at waiting for the keynote, all these areas, introduce yourself and find because, this community is just so amazing. The virtualization community still, bar none in my experience, has, deeper engagement. They all want to share and help, which isn't the same, in kind of the rest of IT.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what, shifting gears a little bit, what's a week in the life of Stu like?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do when you're, what does an analyst do? Do you just sit and, think things all week long?
Imagine armchairs.
Constant thought bubbles, and I bet he just takes pictures of them.
Yeah, deep thoughts.
Thoughts and whiteboards.
So, it's funny. I think I talked to you when we were setting this up. I think of Mike Rowe in Dirty Jobs, and he says, hey, everybody, I'm always looking for that next job and what's there, and, whether I have to cover myself and, where the pig is or, find out what's going on. So, I'm always digging around, love talking to as many vendors as I can and as well as the end users. So, we do a lot of that. There's a lot of reading. There's definitely a lot of, kind of debating with our team. So we have, God, I don't have a single week that's ever the same. So if I'm working on research, sometimes, it's heavy reading and, talking to the people that created the technology, the people that are using the technology, people competing with that technology. You need to try to get every angle that you can on it, as well as, you know, when I'm doing things like the Cube, I'm going to conferences, which is, you know, grueling activity. While I love the show, boy, are these long days.
Yeah.
You finish, you know, the regular, you know, done at 5 o'clock and say, okay, my day's half done.
Because then
you need to go gather information. So I'm always trying to gather information from all my sources. I talk to my peers in the industry. I talk to, you know, people, smart people I know all over the place.
And so talking means you're picking up the phone, you're emailing, you're reaching out to people. Hey, can you have a chat?
So I could spend all my time every day being on briefings where companies come out and say, I have a new product, or we're launching a new division, or acquiring somebody, or, you know, somebody's coming out of stealth. You know, we have a particular research agenda, so there's often things that, you know, I'll spend 2 or 3 months doing background research and helping to create reports that, you know, eventually get published. You know, boy, there's so many things. So, you know, plenty of time on the phone. Many of my peers in the analyst industry, I say, you know, hey, I'm going to be on, you know, 8 hours worth of WebExes in a row. You know, that's their life. So, you know, mine's varied. I definitely will have weeks where, boy, my calendar is jam-packed. And other times where I will block off days at a time because there's things research. I need to, you know, research, write, and work on. The analyst events, where companies bring people in to, you know, really deep dive with kind of the architects and management of the companies, you know, take up time. So it's, you know, boy, it's a pretty varied job. And, you know, one of the things I like is I'm not covering a single technology. I mean, I tend to focus on networking, virtualization, and cloud, which any one of those is like a broad topic. I mean, in the networking space, I went to an analyst event. There were 12 analysts, and we go around the room, and they said, you know, I work on, you know, layer, you know, 4 through 7
oh
for price band 4 and 6, 4 through 6 of this stuff. And they go around, and it's like, yeah, you know, networking and where it hits virtualization and cloud. So, you know, I'm pretty broad, but it's needed. I mean, there's such a broad spectrum. Going back to the original question, you know, there's analysts that, you know, do, you know, lots of number crunching as to what's going out. We do market forecasts, and that's something that, you know, is a kind of dark art in itself. you know, it's there.
I've got a question for you, Sue. One more logistical. You were mentioning that events are a big part of your life. Just when it comes to it, like, do you travel like once a month, like every other week? What's the intensity of that as somebody considers it as a career option?
So it's interesting. You know, if I look compared to most of my peers in the analyst world, I actually don't travel nearly as much as most of them.
Okay.
So, and look, you know, we talk about work-life balance. You know, I traveled about 25% of the weeks out of the year last year. So compared to most SEs I know that's 30 to 50%, you know, that's not much. But, you know, I was coming back from a family vacation in South Carolina in April. And in New York City, there's, you know, one of my peers worked for one of the big analyst firms on his way back from Beijing, where, you know, he'd been giving speeches. So, you know, I do speaking gigs, I do conferences, I do analyst events. And
it's definitely,
you know,
part of the trend.
You know, I will probably be up to, you know, 20 plus weeks this year. But it's definitely, you know, I'm not looking to get it over 50%. By the way, we're hiring, so we're looking to grow. I have to put that plug in.
What kind of a profile of person? Not specifically this exact role, but I mean, what kinds of candidates are good for this?
Yeah, so from an analyst standpoint, look, people that have, you know, domain expertise is always, you know, really
it's always good if you've actually done it.
Yeah. So John, you know, here's something I pondered when I became an analyst is, you know, where do you gain your credibility?
Yeah.
So
that's a great question.
It's, you know, where do I? There's certain technologies that, you know, if you want to talk about storage networking, you know, I did that for 10 years inside of EMC. I will go toe to toe with almost anyone. You know, when you talk about, you know, whether it's the PCIe extension and InfiniBand and cabling, it's like, boy, you know, I can go really deep on that.
You know what the problems are, you know how they were solved, you know what the evolution was.
Talk about networking, it's like, you know, SDN. I don't care if you've got 30 years in networking. 5 years ago, this didn't exist. So, you know, I've been talking to Martin Casado since, you know, before the acquisition, and, you know, talk to all the players. So, you know, in some ways, you're on a level playing field. But, you know, as I get older, these cycles and the things that kind of rhyme over time, cycles do get shorter. But just having lived through some of them, You know, it does help.
So, and thinking about, go back to the dirty jobs metaphor. Yeah. So we had a great session that I don't know which order these podcasts will come out, but one of the concepts was talk to somebody who's done it and ask them, find your fault tolerance. So if you were mentoring somebody, what would be your dirty jobs spin on this? What's the hardest aspect? What is, if you don't like X, then don't take this job. What would you say?
Wow. You know, one of the tough things about being an analyst is, you know, you're talking to the vendors, and some vendors aren't happy when you tell them their baby has big ears. So,
babies are ugly, too.
And on the other side, you know, when you write something, you know, some people can be the curmudgeons, and some people will just be happy. And it's tough. You're never going to please everyone, and it's tough.
You got to have thick skin.
You absolutely have to have
build up thick skin.
And you know. Boy, you got to want to learn. You know, I think, John, you're talking always about, you know, trying to find those unicorns. If you're not excited about what you're working on and want to learn, it's like, I talk to people and they say, boy, it's like, it seems like you're, you know, back in college and always going. It's like, and my mom said, you know, I was talking about cloud computing before, you know, anywhere else she had ever heard it on NPR or talking on Mouchy and things like that. So, and heck, I started blogging. It was, you know, my mom and a couple of coworkers that were reading it. And,
the amount of people
that read my stuff and, like, watch me on videos and everything, it still blows my mind. I'm just stupid. You know, so.
You are. And you can't get what you do.
But I think that's another point. Like, it can become a very public thing, too. We're talking about having thick skin and not, you know, being beaten up by every strong comment that comes your way. But you have to be ready to be public, which may not be.
And it's interesting because the traditional analyst firm is most of those analysts, you know, we kind of say in a dark corner somewhere, you know, gathering their information and, you know, having all those discussions. You know, we believe at Wikibon information should be free and the community should be able to have that information. So, you know, we're doing a lot to try to democratize information. So.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is our community and our culture. I'm from the pro-sharing. I think Wikibon has done a lot of good around that. Red Monk in the developer space, similar philosophy. Most of these analyst firms do. They charge a lot of money for access to the things that they write. So it's kind of the information is kind of locked away. Yeah. That does mean that, unlike others, you are literally in front of the camera.
Well, and John, just to, you know, one of the things people, you know, look at the analyst business is it makes money. So, you know, look, you know, we create content, we get information out there. You know, obviously we need to pay the bills eventually. So there's lots of ways that people would like to leverage the various ways we do. And, you know, we find ways to sort that out. But it's tough, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm doing consulting now, and I'm seeing, you know, even just my experience talking inside the VMware community, people want to pay me to tell them, well, what should I be saying to them, and what's it like to talk to them, and what are they thinking about, and how, you know, would this make sense if I said X to them, would they understand it?
Or would they laugh?
Or would they laugh at me? I mean, marketers really need help talking to geeks. And that's just, for me, they're willing to pay me for that, and I, you know.
So they should, honestly. John,
well,
like,
sure. I'm just saying that there's a lot of ways of getting paid. There's a lot of value in your expertise. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Right. No, I think you just hit it, yeah.
Yeah, I would just, you know, because there's that line as to, you know, being part of the community, and there's things that, you know, we do for free, and then there's eventually, you know, usually some kind of arrangement to sort out money.
Yeah. And there should be. I mean, if you're giving a number of hours to giving persona management for a marketing strategy, like, that's good pay for work.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Are you that brings up? Are you talking to the marketing people about how to talk about the technology, or about the product teams about how to build the technology, or both?
So we will span kind of the gamut. So everything
that's cool.
From
really
when cool. When they're, you know, have technologies and say these are the three, you know, places we could go with it. Where do you think we should focus first? You know, we've done this, here's the great thing we did, and, you know, here's what we're thinking of, you know, telling the world. And we say, ooh, come on, no, let's, you know, go back and, you know, completely rework this, because it looks like you did something real cool, but boy, that's not going to resonate with anyone, because, you know, unfortunately, nobody wants to see your baby pictures. They want to, you know.
They want to know what it's good for.
Yeah.
Well, Stu, we got to let you go back and actually get in front of the camera once again. Any last, final questions from you guys?
No, that was perfect. Or where can people find you on the old internet?
I do this thing called the Twitters. I'm just Stu on Twitter, which is S-T-U. And wikibon.org is, you know, my day job. And, you know, always welcome feedback from the community. Just wikibon.org. And the Cube is our live mobile studio. We go out to the shows, you know, extract the signal from the noise. We've been called the ESPN of Tech, I kind of love. Always having some of the smartest people in the industry. Like, two of you have already been on, and the third one we will have to get on one of these days, Matthew. So, you know, always love that. So SiliconAngle.tv is where you can find all of that. And, hey, if you find my stuff valuable, always reach out. I always love to give back to the community because the community's given back so much.
Yeah. No, Stu, my conversations with you over the years have been amazing. So thanks. Yeah. Well, thanks. I guess that's been another week of the Geek Whisperers. We'll see you all next week.
You've been listening to the Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as J. Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.